Hello?
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 Hey!
Hey there, Delilah.
What's it like in New York City? Okay, now you can go.
Okay. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Future is Bright? I am Lindsay.
I'm Bridget.
Welcome. It's been a long time since we've recorded.
Since we've recorded an actual podcast, yeah.
Yeah, we've done a couple of boxes in between.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So not like an actual podcast.
Yeah, no.
So just don't hit the table with your arm.
Oh, am I doing that?
No, I'm just saying.
Okay. Well, now I'm going to be self-conscious.
Sorry.
It's okay. Don't worry. Yeah. Well, how are you doing?
I mean, we just spent the last 3 hours together, so we have absolutely nothing to talk about.
Yeah, we're pretty much good. We got to the point where we're talking about things that are happening in front of us.
Yeah, we're like, we go back and we're like, what's happening?
Yeah, Bridget and I attempted to go get our tattoos that we talked about for
years.
Yeah, and they said, oh, yeah, it'll be an hour. So we fucking drive around for an hour. And we go back, and they're like, it's probably going to be another hour.
Yeah.
So now we're here. We drove back to Bridget's house, and we're waiting to see if the guy calls us.
We're giving him until 5:30.
Yeah, it is currently 4:08.
Yeah.
Wow. Damn.
Yeah.
Legitimately 3 hours.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
It's fine. We don't hang out like this, so
no,
like,
we don't. It was nice.
It's fine. I'm into it.
It was good. Yeah. So we decided that we would record for you guys because we haven't done that in a long time. Even though we had an episode come out this week, so we did
good for
pretty
me.
Good. Yeah, good for Bridget. I saw it. I was like, damn, look at her go.
Yeah.
I'm pretty much sucking in this department of podcasting, so.
Sometimes I don't have the energy to, like, do anything.
Right. Me, it's just, like, everything else is happening in my life that I can't even think about what the fuck is
going
on.
Something else, yeah.
But it's calming down, I like to say. I'm thinking it's calming down a little bit. I'm going to knock on wood so you'll hear the thing move. Okay. Yeah, my life is calming down a little bit, so I think it's, you know, we're on the right track, so yeah. I also feel like I might have broken my elbow.
I mean, I don't think it's broken, but I think it's
a little bad. I don't know why, but, okay, should I talk about my case this week?
Yeah, I mean, that's usually what we do.
Okay. So, today, I'm talking about a true crime case, but it's also, like, a weird case, and I also feel weird sitting here, because normally I talk to you.
Yeah.
But, like, now I'm pretty much, I'm still out laying down.
Yeah.
So, it's fine.
It's fine.
Whatever. Okay. So, I'm talking about the disappearance and reappearance of Sherry, I'm gonna call her Papin?
Sure.
P-A-P-I-N-I. So, I think that's how you...
how to say it again?
P-A-P-I-N-I.
Papin.
Papin.
Papin. Papin and...
Papin.
Whatever.
So I'm going to talk about her.
This bitch.
So, yeah. Her family first reported her missing after she failed to return from an afternoon jog on Wednesday, November 2nd of 2016. Hold on. It went dark. There we go. Okay. she was from a Reading town, like, in the Reading area of Mountain Gate. Don't ask me where that is. Reading is in California, so it's California.
So California.
Yeah. so after she didn't return home from her jog, her family kind of was like, oh, that's weird. And then she also did not pick up her four-year-old daughter and her two-year-old son from daycare.
Sketchy.
So obviously they were like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like... her husband Keith Papin and other family members, other family members said her cell phone was found using the Find My Phone app along a rural road north of Reading. So, her phone was found, but she wasn't, obviously.
Gotcha.
Her husband appeared in an interview on, Good Morning America 4 days after she was, after her alleged disappearance, telling ABC News that Sherry was definitely taken against her will. Quote. The family offered a $40,000 reward for her discovery and established an online crowdfunding campaign to expand that reward. As various accusations began to emerge, saying that Keith was involved in his wife's disappearance, basically family members described it as, like, baseless and, like, not
just
possible.
Like nothing, yeah.
So, right before What's this holiday I'm thinking? Thanksgiving.
You mean a major holiday?
There was an anonymous, quote, anonymous donor that offered the kidnappers a ransom payment of an undisclosed amount if they returned Sherry by 5 a.m. on November 23rd of 2016.
Hold on.
Okay. What happened?
Okay. Now we're fine now.
Okay. Cameron Gamble, who is a self-described defense contractor, which I don't know what that means.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Well, so it says that he was going to facilitate the transaction initiated by an out-of-town man who approached mutual friend with the offer. So it's like a crazy-ass story where some man out of fucking Redding, California was like, yeah, I'm going to offer you an undisclosed amount of money for you to drop off this woman.
Yeah, that sounds like, solid.
Makes no sense. Yeah. So that was on November 23rd, which was 3 days, right? Thanksgiving's on the 26th?
Thanksgiving is the last Thursday in November, so.
I think it's the 26th. So, well, okay. It changes
every
year.
Whatever dates.
Okay,
the
sorry.
Last Thursday in November.
I'm so stupid. Whatever. Anyway, so then on Thanksgiving morning of 2016, she was found. She was found safe 22 days after her disappearance and 146 miles away from where she disappeared.
Just, like, hanging out?
Yes. Well, no. She was found bound with restraints around 4:30 a.m. in Yolo County, which is...
Yolo.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's pretty cool, actually. The sheriff said that Sherry had been released on a rural country road and flagged down a driver... I'm sorry. On Interstate 5 near County Road 17 north of Woodland. The sheriff said Sherry was injured during the alleged abduction and was treated at an undisclosed Sacramento area hospital and then released. Keith said in a statement to Good Morning America, days after her body was located, that she had scabs and bruises all around her body. There was a brand seared into her skin, which, like, she, like, was branded.
Jesus.
Sorry. It's okay. Yeah, if you guys hear that, we're waiting for the guy to call us, so it's gonna happen. A brand was seared into her skin, and later, so it was branded, she was branded on her right shoulder, and her blonde hair was chopped off, quote, and her husband wrote, quote, the detectives will not rest until her captor, oh wait, no, sorry. The, a sheriff at the time said, detectives will not rest until her captor or captors are identified and brought to justice. Mm-hmm. So then, authorities obviously began to start to piece together what happened. They started to piece it together, and in late November, there was the first description of its perpetrators. So there was more than one person. The sheriff said that Sherry had described her captors as a pair of armed Hispanic women, whom she said repeatedly...
A woman? That's a
two
stretch.
Two women. Like
women?
Yeah.
That's
multiple.
Also a stretch.
Yeah. Who she said repeatedly beat and tortured her over the course of 3 weeks. According to court documents... Sherry said the woman had pulled up to her during her jog in a dark color SUV, and one of them had a, quote, small revolver. Sherry said that the woman often kept their faces covered, but one of them had thin eyebrows and pierced ears, and the other was older and had thick eyebrows. Both of them spoke mostly in Spanish, according to the sheriff, who obviously was the one who spoke with Sherry.
Yeah.
And the sheriff said that Sherry was, quote, cooperative and courageous during the interviews. But it is noted that she refused to talk to detectives while she was at the hospital on the day she was located. So detectives instead decided to give an audio recorder to her husband,
mm-hmm.
which I think is a good idea because it's like if something actually did happen to this woman, she's not like reliving it.
Yeah,
like you
that's
know,
fair.
Her Her husband then conducted the initial interview while deputies remained in the room. In that interview, Sherry said that her abductors had suggested that law enforcement was involved in her kidnapping. Keith stated, Sherry stated, quote, "She, as in one of the abductors, was laughing at me. No one believes you. Everyone thinks you ran away. No one believes you. Guess what? The buyer's a cop. They're never gonna find you," end quote.
So we're talking human trafficking situation is what we're alluding at.
Yes, right.
Gotcha.
Yeah. She also said in the interview that the two women kept her in a closet and forced her to use a bucket with kitty litter as a toilet.
Specific.
Yeah. Sherry said the kitty litter was her own suggestion.
So she weird fucking detail.
Said, "Hey, let's just put kitty litter in here." So,
like, at least make it more, like, you know, easier right, believable. For you. Like, what the fuck?
She described the alleged abductors as playing, quote, "that really annoying Mexican music," according to the criminal complaint that does come up after all this.
Okay, then.
Yeah. She also said that they had played mariachi music during the vehicle ride from the scene of her abduction to the residence where she was purposely, reportedly held. That's not the word, but I don't know how to say that word. Purportedly? Is that a word?
Is that a word?
I don't know. Maybe I spelled something wrong. Whatever.
Whatever.
The motive for the abduction remained unclear at this time.
Just like,
I mean, who knows why.
Whatever.
Yeah. By what Keith Papini says, he says, so this is from him talking to Sherry. He said the captors threw Sherry out of a vehicle in Yolo County with a bag over her head and chains on her wrist and waist. Meanwhile, the Gamble, which is again the facilitator and the anonymous, whatever, said the donor would use his. So he said this donor, quote unquote, was now going to use his wealth to assist the family in, like, upcoming whatever.
Whatever the case. Yeah. So,
obviously, because this is, like, such a high-profile case and, like, whatever, it came with such, like, with many, many rumors.
Mm-hmm.
Chief among all these rumors is that the abduction was a hoax. Keith said, quote, "rumors, assumptions, lies, and hate have been both exhausting and disgusting. Those people should be ashamed of their malicious, subhuman behavior," is what the sheriff said to, like, kind of dismiss these rumors.
So he was like,
he kind of believed, like, what was happening.
Gotcha.
He said, quote, "all of the information that we have right now, out of all the information that we have right now, there is no reason to believe that she's making this up." And he told that to a news company, I guess. Is that what you call it?
Like, it was, outlet.
Yeah, it was like The Bee, which is like a local reporting, whatever.
Yeah.
He said that in November of 2016. So still within the same month that she was.
Oh, this was recent.
Yeah, 2016.
I didn't catch the year.
Yeah. So Missy MacArthur, who was then the mayor of Reading, said a few days later at the celebration, at the Reading Civic Authority, so this is a whole lot of words, but they basically had a celebration for her safe return, kind of said that this, like, the rumors are, like, just trolls and that she was, like, actually abducted, because how are you supposed to say that someone wasn't actually abducted after they just came back from being missing for 22 days.
Like, be like, this is a lie. Like,
yeah.
How are you going to do that? No.
No.
Because if it didn't turn out to be a lie, it would be 10 times worse.
Right, right, right. Yeah,
like,
they would be
victim,
like,
blaming.
Right,
yeah.
And they would, the Papini family would get a million times more money.
Yeah, exactly.
So, in the months following the alleged kidnapping and release, law enforcement officials shared little news and information about the investigation. No arrests were made and no motive was determined. Sherry herself never gave a public first-hand account of what happened, and besides what her husband says about it and the officials, like, that's the only information you're getting about it.
Yeah.
and then in early 2017, The Bee, which is, again, another, like, local news reporting, obtained a record about a December 2003 incident report from Shasta County Sheriff's Office, which is, like, another, whatever.
Yeah.
This report basically stated that Sherry's mother, Lorietta, alleged that the then 21-year-old Sherry was harming herself and blaming it on her mom. So criminologists
How
and
does that work? How do you hurt
like,
yourself?
Right, she was like, "Oh, my mom broke my arm," but you're 21 years old, so it's not even like kid, like you know.
Yeah, like.
So I don't know. Criminalists and law enforcement experts who spoke to this, like, the Bee, sorry, at this time noted that there was some abnormalities in the incident. In both incidents. Is and they stated that obviously it's very rare for women to be abducted by other women.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you don't really ever see that.
That would have been flag number one.
Yeah. At the same time, around the same time, internet sleuths, where am I at? I lost my spot.
That's good with the pen. You could follow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They dug up a racist essay written by Sherry Graff, which is, that was her maiden name. So it's posted to a now, like, website called skinheads.com, which
that's
is
fucking
yeah.
good.
Yep. The post authors wrote that she got in fights during her youth with Latinos who claimed to have targeted her because, quote, she was drug free, white, and proud. And because of her, quote, blood and heritage.
Wait, I'm sorry. So, what, you're gonna, you're like, you really thought that you were gonna say, like, oh my god, these people are making fun of me because I don't do drugs. Right. Like, what the fuck? Are you
and
okay?
That's what the entire essay was about, was how they were Latinos and that they were, she was white and they were.
Could you imagine making fun of somebody for, like, oh my god, you don't do heroin? Ew. Fuck.
I can't. Oh my god. So, after this came up and, like, detectives started looking into it. Sherry obviously said that she believed someone else wrote the post using her name, and that she had hired an attorney to have the post removed. The family and friends have also said the post was written by someone else, because of obviously.
I mean, well, they're not going to take credit for that shit,
right.
So.
Okay. So just before the one-year anniversary of the of Sherry's disappearance, investigators announced what would turn out to be the pivotal discovery. Sherry Papini, I like saying that, so if it's wrong, sorry, girl, who claimed her two abductors were women, had male DNA on her clothes and was when she was found in Yolo County. Detectives found DNA from a woman on Papini's body and DNA from a man on her clothes. Authorities noted this in October of 2017, but the DNA did not match that of her husband's.
Oh, caught, bitch. Red-handed.
Yeah. So, the DNA sample was uploaded to a criminal database where it didn't get a ping for a match. So, they're kind of, right now, stuck. Like, they have this male DNA, but they don't know who it is.
Right.
Well, they didn't have a match right away.
Right.
Sergeant Brian Jackson, who was a spokesman for Shasta County Sheriff's Office, said at the time that investigators have found other inconsistencies with Papini's story. The, quote, supermom, as tabloids and magazines and everyone else was calling her out to be, told detectives she cut her foot while trying to fight back against her captors, but investigators found no evidence of a cut on her body.
Why would you make up some dumb shit like that?
So,
like,
yeah.
That's an obvious, like, they're not gonna find something. Let me not say it. Like,
so
what
stupid.
The hell?
She also told investigators after she was released that she heard her captors having an argument followed by a gunshot. And according to Jackson, authorities could not corroborate that any reports of missing persons or unresolved homicides. So she's saying, they're kind of saying gunshots, you'd obviously someone would get hurt, and there's nothing of that in the county.
I mean, okay.
In Yolo or nearby counties.
Yeah. But I could see, like, you could just shoot a gun off.
Right,
and
not, like, so you're not really
it on anybody,
yeah.
So.
But investigators also revealed that her phone, the one found in the rural Shasta County, had been found screen up, undamaged, and with earbuds neatly coiled at the top of it. So, yeah. Sheriff said that Keith Papini had passed a polygraph test about the incident and offered to take another. And then after the DNA revelation, there had been no other significant updates in the case for more than 4 years. So if you think about that, 4 years would make it March 3rd, 2022.
Oh, that's literally this month.
Yeah, well, last month now, because now it's April.
But. Okay, well, let's just not talk about that right now, but yeah.
So federal prosecutors on March 3rd, 2022, unveiled the charges against Papini, Sherry Papini.
Yeah.
Local law enforcement and the FBI determined that instead of being kidnapped and tortured, she had actually been staying with a former boyfriend in Costa Mesa. Quote, she was presented with evidence that showed that she had not been abducted, end quote. And that's what U.S. Attorney Phil Tabbert's office said in a statement. Quote, instead of retracting her kidnapping story, Papini continued to make false statements about her purported abductors, end quote. Purported must be a word because it's here again, so.
Yeah, it's a weird word.
Yeah. The DNA entered into the state database returned a hit in March of 2020.
And action.
All right. let's see. Okay. So the DNA entered into the state database returned a hit in March of 2020, and that led investigators to the ex-boyfriend, who, according to court documents, wait, what? Yeah, so, whatever, it was found to be the ex-boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
The ex was briefly associated with an address owned by Sherry's parents. Okay. So, FBI agents went to the ex-boyfriend's home on June 9th, 2020, and collected items from his trash, including a, quote, Honest Honey green tea bottle that was analyzed and found to have DNA that matched the collected from Panini's clothes, court documents say. So, like, that's how they found him.
Right.
So they must have, like, were just, like, looking into her past, and it sounds like stumbled a shot out of a dark, yeah. So a very similar process was used, this was a similar process used to collect DNA confirming that Joseph James DeAngelo Jr. or the Golden State Killer was the Golden State Killer. So it's a very similar process.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah. Investigators tracked down the ex in August of 2020, and he admitted that he, quote, helped Panini run away. Okay. The two had known each other since they were teenagers, and then had once been engaged. But, you know, whatever. Sometime in 2015, the ex found personal items that reminded him of Sherry and sent them to her parents, he told investigators. Sherry later called him, telling him she'd been saving money because she, quote, had he planned to run away with him, court documents say. Quote, Sherry Papini told him that her husband was beating and raping her, and she was trying to escape, unquote. That's what, like, the court documents say.
Mm-hmm.
Papini told her ex-boyfriend that she had been filing police reports, but the police weren't doing anything to stop the husband's abuse.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But the Shasta Sheriff's officials have no reports of Sherry filing those documents.
Sounds
at all.
About right.
Yeah. Sherry and Keith were interviewed by the FBI and the Shasta Sheriff's officials on August 13th of 2020. While her husband was still in the room, Sherry continued to deny the fact that she ran away with her ex-boyfriend. But once her husband left the room, Sherry admitted that she and her ex-boyfriend, quote, did talk a little bit before her disappearance.
Mm-hmm.
Although the court documents say that she did not point at... Wait. The court documents say that Sherry did not at any point throughout the interview disavow her repeated statements that the Hispanic Romans kidnapped her. So she, like, never really said that they didn't kidnap her.
Like, that wasn't true.
Right. But she also never admitted that the ex-boyfriend picked her up. So she kind of was just not saying...
So
she was
saying, just shutting up and...
Yeah. Yeah. The ex-boyfriend told investigators that Sherry cut her hair and hit and burned herself to cause injuries while she was with him. She also asked him to brand her. Wait. She also asked him to brand him, which he did.
Her.
I think it meant to be her, but yeah. I might have, yeah. Sorry. Sherry, quote, harmed herself to support her false statements.
That's fucking psychotic.
Yeah, about everything. Eventually, according to court documents, Sherry told the ex-boyfriend that she missed her children and asked to be taken back to Reading.
Oh, I forgot she had kids.
Yeah, she had kids, yeah. So the ex said he made the 7-hour drive in a rental car and dropped Sherry off on a country road along I-5, and that she brought, quote, stuff in a bag, which she used to bind her own wrists and ankles. She also tossed a prepaid phone out the window during the drive. And according to court documents, she applied for and received more than $30,000 from the California Victims Compensation Board. Resulting in the mail fraud charge. So she was charged with...
I was going to say, because, like, what did she do? She was... I mean, lied to the police. I feel like that's a crime.
It definitely is. I can't tell you exactly. It might say it further down. I did this a little while ago. But I know that it was for mail fraud. And I also think it was something, like, because she wasted the FBI's time.
Right. Like, I feel like it's, like, technically, like, yeah. Filing a false police report, technically.
I put somewhere here. I think I put it somewhere. Oh, yeah. I put it somewhere. Maybe I didn't. Or I read somewhere how much she actually wasted in their time. Like, yeah. You know. So she was arrested. I mean, she was charged with that mail fraud charge. She also... Her and her husband also collected more than $49,000 from a GoFundMe page. Yep. Which they used in part to pay off her credit cards.
Well, like, her husband didn't know that she actually missing,
It doesn't sound like he had any idea. So...
Well, because she was with an ex, so I'd assume that he didn't
know. Right, right, yeah. And also, why would you go to Good Morning America if, like, you knew?
Yeah.
In interviews with the FBI and the Sacramento Bee, which is, this, like... You know, the news, whatever. Numerous people from Sherry's past described her as a serial liar. This is a really hard name to pronounce. Shahin Davari. S-H-A-U-H-I-N. Shahin?
I would just say Sean, but...
Oh, that might be it.
But it just spelled stupidly, but I don't know.
That might be it. Okay. So Sean was one of... Sherry's ex-boyfriends in the early 2000s, and he told the Bee that she would routinely make up bizarre claims for no reason. During an interview conducted with a federal agent and the Shasta County Sheriff's Office in August of 2020, Sherry was warned that it was a crime to lie to federal agents.
Oh, okay, yeah.
She was presented with evidence that showed that she had not been abducted. Instead of retracting her kidnapping story, she continued to make false statements about these abductors. In addition, she caused... Okay, I said this already. So this is kind of makes sense as to what the $30,000 consists of, so I will reread it. So she had the Victims Compensation Board pay victim assistance money based on her kidnapping story. So from 2017 through 2021... Sherry's request for victim assistance caused approximately 35 payments, totaling over $30,000, including for the visits to her therapist and the ambulance that transported her to and from the hospital. So it's like they're paying for, like, you know,
like health.
Yeah.
Stuff.
The U.S. like attorney in like the Shasta County Sheriff's Office said, quote, when a young mother went missing in broad daylight, a community was filled with fear and concern. Shasta County Sheriff's Office immediately began investigating, calling on the assistance of the FBI. Countless hours were spent following leads, all in an effort to bring this woman back to her family. 3 weeks later, she was found 146 miles south of where she disappeared, and the focus went to trying to find her abductors. Ultimately, the investigation revealed there was no kidnapping at the time, and that resources that could have been used to investigate actual crimes, protect the community, and provide resources to victims were wasted on the basis of the defendant's conduct. So they were obviously not very happy about
that. I would not be happy either. Are you kidding me? Yeah.
Sherry faces a maximum of 5 years in prison, which is, like, stupid.
Yeah.
And a fine of up to $250,000 if convicted of making false statements to a federal investigator. The second charge of mail fraud carries a maximum of 20 years in prison and
how,
not fine.
How the fuck is mail fraud literally more years in prison than lying to the FBI?
Isn't that insane?
What the fuck?
Yeah, so she's gonna go to jail for mail fraud instead of fucking what she should be going to jail
literally
for.
Lying to the FBI. Yeah, 5 years.
Wasting millions of dollars.
Open up somebody's other mail, 20 years to life. What the fuck?
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
That is insane.
Yeah, so I just saw that. I saw it on the news, and that's what sparked my interest, because I was like, this is weird. Like, I've never heard of this woman before.
That is, like, so, the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my whole life.
Yep. So I knew you were getting cold. Your blanket was coming up over your face. I was like, oh, she's cold.
She's just... Yeah. No, that's fucking stupid. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
And I still don't understand why she did it besides to get attention. Like... Even if she wanted to get away from her family, like, you came back.
You did, because you missed your kids.
So yeah.
Maybe she planned on, like, not coming back, but then she was like, oh, well, I got kids.
I don't know. Like, I feel like it blows my mind that there's people out there who legitimately, like, run away because they want to run away. And then, like, they're still alive and they're just
chilling.
Out there. It's crazy to me. Yeah. Blows my mind. But, yeah. Sorry, I'm drinking more of this. I think this area is not very good for me. I keep hitting into the table.
Well, you only hit it when you're moving.
That's true. So, okay. There we go. So, yeah, that's my story for you guys this week.
That was pretty good. I never heard of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't hear about it either until, like, just this past, you know, week.
Yeah.
Or earlier this month, I guess we could say. So.
Well, last month, according to you.
Like, yeah. Well, it is last month. It's the second. I'm trying to pop my elbow back into place. It hurts.
Gross.
You're the one who taught me that. You know that?
Did I?
Yeah, because your elbow used to always go out of place.
It used to lock, and then I used to, like, force it.
Yeah, you used to do this, right? Yeah. To get it, You're the one who taught me how to do that. So.
Gross.
Yeah. All right, well, that's all I have for you guys. Bridget, what are you doing?
I just headbutted the mic.
I thought you were itching your head with the... be on the lookout for our new tattoos if they happen.
Yeah.
Today, what time is it? Oh, 4:40.
4:40, I know.
Holy shit.
I was looking at the clock.
Yeah. So, probably not today is what I'm assuming.
Unless they call us in the next 15
minutes. That sucks. Yeah. That's sad.
I'll go tomorrow and make us an appointment.
Yeah, because whatever. Do it, like, next Saturday.
You don't need to be there to make an appointment.
Right, no. We'll can you make it on a Saturday?
Yeah. I'll just say whatever ours is available the soonest.
Right, like, yeah. Whatever. After 5, possibly.
Yeah.
Because
during the week.
Right. Yeah, on the weekend, I don't give a shit. Whenever. Yeah. So, yeah. All right, well, follow us on Instagram.
FIB Podcast.
Hit us up on Facebook.
Future is Bright Podcast.
Send us a Gmail.
futuresbrightpod@gmail.com.
And subscribe to our YouTube.
Sure, I think it's FIB Podcast, but honestly, I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, we don't know. We're not good with that, but stay tuned. I'm getting back into my Instagram game, so I think I might pick up on the Instagram.
Okay. Please do, because I suck at it. So.
Yeah, I suck at it, too. But once my life calms down a little bit, I'm able to, like, do it, but then something else happens. So I'm going to, you know, figure it out.
Yeah, it's a cycle. So,
yeah, we're fine. We're fine. We have our true loyal fans that love us, and that's it.
Shout out to my mom.
Your mom,
even though she hasn't listened, so
yeah, your dad,
he's behind.
Really, all we have is Lexi, is the only person who actually listened. Oh, and Leah.
Yeah,
I forgot about her. Oh, yeah.
Forget about Leah.
And your friend, the other kid, what's his name?
No idea.
It's Jimmy's friend.
Oh, Chris.
Chris, there we go. There we go. We just named at least 4 people. I didn't forget about Leah, but she talks to you, and I don't talk to her, so you know. But hi, Leah. We're friends. In case you're wondering. All right. See you guys next.